This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, I'm Kelly Anissa and you're listening to Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture. And joining me in the studio today is Dr. Gary Tessera. He is the Special Functions Officer to the Minister of Energy, Science, Technology, Environment and Climate Change, or MESTECH. Today we're going to look at how the ministry is promoting sustainability for businesses in the private sector, as well as the key role businesses can play in this. Welcome to the show, Dr. Gary.
Thanks so much, Kelly. It's a pleasure to be here.
Pleasure to have you with us. So let's start with, you know, who plays the most significant role in the business and sustainability movement? You know, is it the stakeholders, like the customers, the suppliers and the community? Or is it just, you know, the businesses themselves, like the stakeholders?
Everyone has a role to play, if you think about it. The government's role is to actually make sure that there's a fertile ecosystem where players engage together to build on each other's strengths and help bolster each other's weaknesses and needs. For example, if you need procurement of green supplies or equipment, then there are the private sector parties that deliver that. If you're looking to get green electricity or energy, you may not have a choice but to get it from the grid. In that case, the government's job is to try to green the electricity supply so that no matter how much electricity you use, it still remains green per kilowatt hour. Also, you know, tied to that are the regulatory agencies, some of the agencies that ensure compliance, and then the various other players that do certification and the like. So everyone has a role to play, and that's why we call it an ecosystem. Mm. Weaknesses in any part of the ecosystem can actually impair the forward movement, the progression of this greening of the industry.
Right. And, you know, speaking of that, there is a growing movement of companies and corporations who are taking steps to reduce their, you know, for starters, their carbon footprints, you know, in terms of the emissions caused by the production of their products. And also there are some who encourage consumers to reuse products and, you know, their packaging or to just recycle them. Would you say they are heading in the right direction? Is it a good first step?
There are many large players that have already bought into this idea that we need to be very resource efficient in the way we continue to conduct our business. For the most part, it's the bigger players, probably multilateral or multinational corporations that have started overseas and come here, and in their home countries or countries of origin are already certified and green, and what they do to ensure that the products that come from here or exported to their home countries meet the same certification standards is they essentially recreate the green working systems or operations here in this country. Local companies are beginning to catch on. The GLCs, of course, the big boys who produce their sustainability reports each year, they're very familiar with the impact of certification, the way it increases the marketability of their products, the way it increases their competitiveness in international markets, particularly in developed country markets that are looking for green products and services. So it's time, though, that this filters down into the SMEs, into the mom-and-pop type operations. And currently, many of them think that they're too small to have to worry about these things, that either changes are too small and not worth making, or if they are making the changes, that they don't seem to have an impact right on their products. But as the population becomes more and more aware, more and more sensitized towards the need to reduce waste, to use resources far more efficiently than we are, we find that even people are walking into bubble tea shops and saying, no, I don't want your pre-packaged, sealed plastic single-use container. Yeah. I want you to put the bubble tea in this glass container, which I've brought.
And a lot of them are doing that these days.
So you see, the market is beginning to understand how how the change is coming. They're reading the writing on the wall and they're adjusting accordingly, which I think is very good. So what we hope, the ministry hopes, is that while the need grows for things like certification, for things like green products and services to be procured, we hope that the stakeholders will respond and that the ecosystem can grow together. We do not want to have a mismatch where there's a huge demand for green products and green services, but there's no supply.
Mm.
Or conversely, if there's a huge supply of green products and services, but there's no demand.
Right.
We'd like to see everyone sort of grow together. And in this way, we can build on this and create this very vibrant ecosystem.
Hmm. And is that something that the ministry, you know, do you think the ministry can play a role in that? Not just in terms of the business or the private sector, but really the consumers, because like you said, it's something that goes hand in hand. It's the awareness and it's the demand for it. And how can you educate your consumers to have, you know, more sustainable practices or to make more sustainable choices when it comes to the things they are consuming?
That can be difficult. That can be a long-term proposition. But at least from the ministry standpoint, the YBEO is very clear that governments will take the lead. So in her case, she has excluded all the single-use plastic from her ministry.
Mm.
She has sent very strong memos to the other ministries, and many ministries are picking up on this. To her, it was a great victory when plastic wrap and plastic bottles disappeared from cabinet meetings. So, from there, then we moved to other government-owned buildings and other government offices and tried to carry this out as well. We spread the message through the state governments as well, and some states have shown to be very progressive in this regard. So we tend to treat the sort of federal regulation as the minimum. If we say straws only if requested, we are very happy to see other states simply say no straws, period, bring your own.
Right.
So it's going to be a long-term process, but we already see that even very young children are beginning to tell their parents, hey, why are we doing this? We have mm. containers in the car. We have containers at home. We can really be part of the solution rather than part of the problem.
Yes, and I do want to explore what you said about SMEs and the smaller businesses a little bit later, but could we, could you just address or to just break down what the ministry or how the ministry is promoting sustainability in the private sector? How are they approaching this? Are there any examples of initiatives they're undertaking?
Yeah, this is quite cross-cutting if you think about it, that there are a number of different ministries involved. But from MasTec's viewpoint, first of all, we do have the Malaysian Green Technology Corporation, MGTC, which is one of the agencies under the ministry, and they are in charge of putting out these green incentives. They, for example, if we've got mom and pop operations looking for financing, there is of course the Green Technology Financing Scheme. Gives you a subsidy on your interest and underwrites part of your loan amount to facilitate the participation of banks.
Mm.
So it reduces the risk burden on the banks and makes them more likely to accept your loan application. The government has also put in place Green Investment Tax Allowance, or GITA, and the Green Income Tax Exemption, or the GITE. So this allows companies to either invest in assets or invest in projects that will green their operations, and this can then be deducted from the income for that particular year, so that tax burden will be reduced.
Mm.
In terms of the exemption, if you are a provider of green services, specifically listed green services, then you can apply for a tax exemption from your income as well. Apart from that, the Green Technology Corporation also provides training, for example, for energy managers, for certification, for occupation skills standards and the like. And finally, they also have a green certification and verification scheme. For example, we've got MyHijau, where they maintain a directory of vendors that supply green products and services. So if you are looking to green your product line, perhaps you can begin with your procurement, your sourcing, and try to ensure that from the very beginning you are generating the smallest possible energy footprint, the smallest possible greenhouse gas footprint,
right,
and producing the least possible amount of waste.
Mm. But do you think businesses are actually aware of this?
Yes, and that's part of why the outreach from the ministry is so important. YB produces videos every now and then. She has a very active Facebook page. Mm. For example, when we launched the third tranche of the large-scale solar, when we talk about net energy metering, when we talk about solar leasing, all these things actually do get out there. But it's difficult to say how far it gets and how many people it actually reaches, and then do they actually understand these schemes? Mm. SEDA keeps a very, very informative web page, which has all these schemes on it, and it goes all the way from explaining what they are to the actual application forms, including the application due dates and the like. But for some, it can be difficult to sort of wade through this huge mass of initiatives to try to find one that just suits you. Mm. So what we find is we're actually happy to see entities, NGOs, associations running these conferences, sustainability conferences for businesses, so that they provide a platform where the people with the information can actually provide some guidance to the people looking for the information, people need the information. So we are at the ministry approached on a regular basis and asked, requested to endorse some of these conferences, and when we do a cursory examination and are able to determine that it will be a beneficial conference, mm-hmm. For sustainability, we are happy to endorse it. Yes.
Yeah. And earlier you mentioned the SMEs, the smaller players, right? So how can those groups get into the sustainability ecosystem, you know? Because like you said, I think for a lot of them, they may feel like they don't have a significant role to play, but they do. And how can they get involved in this?
There are a number of ways, and I think one of the most difficult concepts for many of these smaller players is to realize the collective impact of small efforts. Like I said, if you're a mom and pop operation, just shifting from plastic to paper can make a huge difference. Making small changes to your refrigeration, making choices as to the kinds of products you purchase in your business, all have a role to play. And if people now, there's some talk about storefronts disappearing and all that, but for all the talk of the move to online shopping, we still see that nothing is dead, you know. Mm. Yeah. The storefront already sends a very strong message nowadays. If they see a sign that says, you know, non-plastic straws available on request, you know, if they see we use only organic produce, if we are going to have perhaps something like fair trade products, mm. in our food products and the like. So I think that the growing awareness among the general public is really, really driving this. And, very soon we'll see, the kinds of certification for mom and pop operations that will stand up to public scrutiny and will actually draw customers in. The Malaysian Green Tech Corporation also provides green advisory services. These include carbon accounting, so you can assist your business, your organization to prepare your greenhouse gas inventory and perhaps identify and find means of implementing mitigation strategies moving forward. It can also help you for longer term prepare a blueprint or prepare a roadmap towards very, very specific green goals. If you want to be RE100, you know, or if you want to be carbon neutral by a certain year, mm. I think that sends a very strong message to your customers, to your clients. I think that will help. Also, green consultancy services how you can adopt and implement green practices and green technologies. It's a very fast paced and very rapidly changing area, this area of green technologies, and things are popping up very, very quickly, greening with IT, greening off IT. It'll very soon be the case that you can work from home or work from wherever you are while your driverless car takes you to where you need to be.
And I do want to take a look at the recognition as well. You know, what are some of the ways a company or a business can brand themselves, you know, to be able to be recognized as a green and sustainable business? You know, how can they, I suppose, be labeled as, you know, as such a business, and how can they market this?
I think that you have things that like ISO and other, you know, association and private sector certification schemes. There are green business certification schemes by the World Resources Institute and the like. But right in MGTC itself, the Ministry of Green Tech Corporation, we have the green products and services of the Mai Hijau mark. I think that that consumers are beginning to notice in the products that they buy. I mean, nowadays it's not at all uncommon to have a printer in the house. And you go out and you buy A4 paper, and immediately you can tell, you know, if it's FSC, or Forest Stewardship Council certified paper.
Right.
So the Mai Hijau mark is another mark that people are beginning to notice and recognize. But I think overall, there is a growing awareness that these products are on the market, and that if you have a green product or service, that you can approach MGTC to get certification for your product. And I think they'll be happy to walk you through that.
Mm. And then, as mentioned earlier, even though more and more businesses are taking steps to become more sustainable, many are still hesitant to do that. You know, what do you think this boils down to? You know, what are some of the challenges or some of the obstacles you think they might face when it comes to taking that step and making that change?
I think in Malaysia, we have become fairly complacent because, in effect, we appear to pay a very low price for the resources that we use. We have among the lowest electricity prices in the region. We have very close to the lowest water prices, clearly in the region, almost in the world.
Yeah.
This, in many ways, desensitizes us to the fact that resources are limiting, they're scarce, and particularly when we have urban centers with very high population densities, all depending on the same area of rainfall, if you think about it, you know. Catchments that are continuing to shrink as suburbia pushes further and further and encroaches on the plantations, and the plantations encroach on the catchments. It can lull us into a false sense that we're still in a comfort zone that we don't need to leave. But I think that recent events, the increasing frequency and severity of extreme weather events that have caused flash floods right here in Kuala Lumpur, and the dry periods that even now are sending us haze from other countries, and in some cases from local sources. And even now, we notice that the increased number of motor vehicles does have an impact on air, in spite of the number and growing number of hybrid vehicles that we see around. I think all of these point it's going to be slow. It's going to be a bit difficult. But what you can count on is the fact that given the diminishing fossil fuel resources, they're going to go up in price. Mm. At some point in time, they're going to go up in price. As I said earlier, the writing is on the wall. And companies that don't begin to move with the times, particularly, for example, now the plastics industry, I think they're getting the message. I think they're moving very quickly. in responding. So there are challenges, but I think that with each passing day, they also read the newspapers. They also listen to their customers. And I think the customers are pushing them in the right direction.
Mm. And so, I suppose from that we can understand the important role that entrepreneurs and business leaders play, or why they play such an integral role when it comes to sustainability. And earlier, Dr. Gary, when we were talking outside the studio, you were talking about the role of stewardship and that approach when it comes to this to business, especially in regard to the sustainability issue. Could you maybe perhaps just expand on that a little bit?
Yes. I believe sometime last year there was an interfaith conference where we looked at faith-based approaches, where the organizers called together faith leaders, and they looked at faith-based approaches to the concept of sustainability and sustainable living and protection of the environment. And perhaps not surprisingly, they found that they weren't very far apart in terms of what the various faiths deemed as values, systems, belief systems that the environment is worth protecting, worth keeping, and furthermore, that it is us who are charged as a sentient species, charged with protecting and preserving the environment, not the least for our own survival, because much of the life on Earth would be quite happy without us. But we have created on this Earth ecosystems for our own survival, but in many cases we fail to plan or we do not anticipate the impacts of our conquest of the environment on the very systems that support us. All right, so the concept of stewardship is not one that any one faith can lay claim to. I think it's very broad based, and the idea that we are charged with caring for what has been given to us, particularly for future generations, this renewed sense of intergenerational justice, I think, is one that is catching on very quickly, and one that will have a strong influence on the way civilization moves forward.
Mm. And I understand that MassTech is endorsing an upcoming conference related to, business and sustainability. Perhaps you could tell us a little bit more about what that conference is, what's going to happen there and what is the objective of that?
The Laudato Si Malaysia, which is a non-governmental organization, approached us to endorse a conference on entrepreneurship and sustainability. And this would be adopting a stewardship perspective. But the idea really is to bring together the people who have the knowledge about ways in which businesses can be operated sustainably, the parties that provide the green services and the green products, and the businesses that will need them to move forward, bring them all together on a common platform with the idea of driving forward and accelerating the adoption of sustainable practices in businesses. Business size needn't matter. They can be large factories with lots of roof space that might be ripe and waiting for solar panels. Or they can be mom-and-pop operations that are just looking for double glazing and some additional insulation, perhaps in the ceiling and the like. But the idea was can we have the experts, the providers, the financiers, the certifiers all come together and have a dialogue to where they can actually share their strengths and collaborate to make business in Malaysia greener. we're really of the view that sustainability should be everybody's business, and every business should be sustainable. And if you start from that perspective, in the context of stewardship, in the context of preserving and protecting natural resources, using what you need, and ensuring that there's sufficient leftover for everyone else, as well as the future. So the further we can push the one Earth consumed date towards the end of the year, the better. I think right now we consume two and some odd Earths by the time the end of the year swings around. So it's very clear that that we need to, a platform to help Malaysians and Malaysian businesses and entrepreneurs be part of that larger global solution.
Right. And who is this event open to? Can anybody be a part of this conference, or is it based on an per-invitation basis?
No, the conference is open to anyone. We will have an announcement go out, a flyer go out regarding this. And if you know to look in the right places, I'm sure you will find the Laudato Si Malaysia Entrepreneurship and Sustainability Conference taking place on the 12th and 13th of September 2019.
I see. So do you have a website or an email that we could go to or write to for more information?
Yes, you could send an email to Laudato Si, that's laudatosi.malaysia@gmail.com.
Right.
And the organizers will be happy to send you more information about this upcoming conference.
I got it. All right. And we are running out of time, but do you have a final message you'd like to leave us with?
Well, where do I begin? We are in the midst of a climate emergency. We already see the impacts of perhaps a lack of consciousness regarding what is waste and how we treat it.
Yeah.
Sometimes in our anxiousness and in haste to classify and manage waste, we forget that. It should actually be recirculated, it should be recycled. We should be moving from linear economies to circular economies. We craft some very strong legislation at times that actually limits what we can do with waste because we want to be safe, and that's good. But we really need to once again look at the regulatory frameworks that we have to try to think about how we can turn all these linear economies, which practically ensure that things end up in landfills, to more circular ones that upcycle and recirculate goods to higher value resources. It's going to be a long road, but we don't have time. We really need to get the message out. And within the next generation, we need to ensure that we have the highest possible standards in resource utilization, resource efficiency, energy efficiency, and move very, very quickly towards zero waste.
A lot of people think that we actually do have a lot of time. I think that sense of urgency hasn't really kicked in yet.
Reality bites, and many times, like I said, I looked at videos of cars floating down streets, just a week ago. And the first thing that occurred to me is, that's not my car.
Mm.
All right. But I can virtually guarantee you that anyone who was in that situation has a very different perspective on the climate emergency at this point in time.
All right, that's an interesting note to end on. Well, thank you for joining me on the show today, Dr. Gary.
Always a pleasure. Thank you very much, Kelly.
I was speaking to Dr. Gary Tessera. He is the Special Functions Officer to the Minister of Energy, Science, Technology, Environment and Climate Change, or better known as MESTEC. We were talking about the role of businesses in sustainability. If you've missed any part of this interview or any Earth Matters segment, you can download the podcast on the BFM app, available on Google Play, the App Store, and also on Spotify. You've been listening to Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.